AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The state of Maine has blocked former President Donald Trump from its Republican presidential primary. CBS's Linda Kenyon has the story.
Ruling cites the former president's involvement in the January 2021 uprising at the Capitol and the 14th Amendment that bans those who engaged in insurrection from running for office. The Trump campaign says it will appeal. And CBS News election law contributor David Becker says this will likely end up in the Supreme Court.
Now we've seen two states disqualify Donald Trump from the Republican primary presidential ballot for having engaged in an insurrection.
The other state is Colorado. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Earlier today, Colorado's Secretary of State announced that Trump will appear on the ballot there when certification occurs on January 5th, unless the U.S. Supreme Court declines to take the case or otherwise affirms the Colorado Supreme Court ruling. Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is responding to the backlash following her comments at a New Hampshire town hall yesterday about the cause of the Civil War. She did not mention slavery. Today she's responding.
Yes, you can acknowledge a point in history. What do you do with that point in history? You got to make sure the lessons constantly go forward so that we never see it again.
Haley's comment about slavery touched off a political firestorm of criticism with fellow GOP presidential contenders, including Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump, saying that she's, quote, not a candidate ready for prime time. The State Department says talks between Mexican and U.S. officials on securing Mexico's help in stemming record-high migration to the U.S. were productive, but the sides have more to do. CBS's Adrian Bard says the volume of asylum seekers is putting renewed urgency on the crisis.
The urgency is the number of people, migrants, that are crossing first through Mexico's southern border and then gradually making their way up to the U.S.-Mexico border. Those are numbers that we've never seen before.
A lot of people are hitting the roads, whether it's returning from Christmas gatherings or heading out for a New Year's celebration or in Florida going on vacation. AAA's Mark Jenkins recommends.
Expect heavy traffic, especially near the attractions, airports, and shopping centers. The busiest times on the roads, that's going to be in the mid-afternoon to early evening hours. So the best advice would be to leave early in the morning or later in the evening after dinner.
Cher asks a court to give her conservatorship over her adult son, Elijah Blue Allman. She says the 47-year-old struggles with mental health issues and addiction have left him unable to manage his assets. Allman tells the Associated Press that he is of sound mind and body. U.S. applications for jobless benefits rise, but the labor market remains solid. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation. Young people of color are still going to prison at disproportionate rates. Advocates for alternative sentences say young people need to be better equipped for life after incarceration.
It's not only about a public safety argument, though I think it's very important to recognize that kids who are held in these facilities are in fact more likely to reoffend and more likely to reoffend on a more serious charge the next time.
Joshua Rovner is the Youth Justice Director for the Sentencing Project. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks cut down the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks jumped out to a lead and never looked back. They won 144-122 over the Brooklyn Nets. Chris Middleton, a season-high 27 points.
12,000 is big. Still got a long way to get up to Dame's, but I'm proud of myself for that. But I'm feeling great as of late. My legs are coming back. We're playing better team basketball. Just got to figure out on the defensive end.
NFL. The Packers suspending cornerback Jair Alexander for this weekend's game against the Vikings. I asked teammate Eric Stokes if he saw Jair run out there for the coin toss against Carolina.
It was clear as day. You can see when he went out there and all that stuff. I was sitting down on the sideline, and then when I looked up, he was out there.
What's Jair like as a teammate?
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with. At the end of the day, like, he's giving it his all.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A rain or snow shower possible this evening, otherwise a cloudy night tonight and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, highs right around 40 degrees. We'll start off Saturday sunny, then clouds move in, highs upper 30s, some flurries or snow showers possible Sunday. Right now it's 33.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Or visit allenergysolar.com.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 26, then sunshine Friday with a high of 38. Bring in the new year with a meal from an Eat Local Minnesota restaurant or food purveyor. See the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Henny Cuddy.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dagod. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
I know some days I like to quiz you on what's coming up and what's going on, but I know you have a little news. But before the news, can you guess what time of year it is?
Oh, it's almost New Year's Eve, which means, you know, there's still time to give a shout out to our friends at Minsure. Minsure.org is the one-stop destination for health insurance, tax savings in the state. They provide friendly assistance to everyone, no matter your income. So learn more at Minsure.org if you need that resource.
You're correct. You see, the audience was applauding. I like to push buttons every once in a while. But hey, you know, we got some news before we have our guests on today. We have John Hunter, who's a coach and founder of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, which we want to talk to him about an event, but also talk about his organization. And we talk about this being the creator's game, and lacrosse has been borrowed and stolen from Native Americans who've been doing it for thousands of years. So exactly. I know he uses traditional, what are they called, Haley? Traditional.
The sticks?
Yeah. Or,
I don't know what they're technically called. I'm sure they have a name, a more specific name, but.
We'll ask.
Traditional wooden sticks, right?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, geez. Well, did you hear that Minnesota come out of me? Oh, geez.
What geez? We say that a lot.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Oh, geez.
Oh, sacred Indian here in Minnesota. Hey, so Haley, we got some news. What do you have for us? Let's discuss what's happening around Turtle Island.
Yes. Well, we had Bob Blake on yesterday, and Bob always gives a really great kind of overview and report on what's going on with our climate news and our renewables. But I know we talked briefly about kind of just looking back over the year and kind of what's happened all around the country, and returning back to a story from Maui and the wildfires that were happening out there. And the tree, the historic Lahaina banyan tree. The good news here, I know a lot of people were very concerned with this older tree, this massive tree in the park that's been around forever. The historic tree now is sprouting new leaves after the wildfires. So very, very happy to see that. That is a piece of good news going into the new year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, that just shows that, you know, how fragile Mother Earth is, but also where people may not live or survive, Mother Earth does. So that's exactly something to really look at when it comes to, you know, the things we're doing to our planet, because I'm always corrected, because and I correct people too, but it's lazy speak from me, but that the planet will always be here, and animals and definitely cockroaches will be here till forever. We won't.
Exactly. Well, I think it's a great example, too, of how we can rise from the ashes, and so can nature. So I really like that. Here's another story coming out of Arizona. So the Kokopa tribe launches a project to restore Colorado river habitats in Arizona. So the Kokopa tribe's environment office has launched a project restoring land along the river to what it looked like decades ago. The tribe plans to preserve its culture by restoring habitats and planting native trees. So just a big round of applause for our Kokopa tribe relatives out there in Arizona. We're proud of you. Plant those native trees.
Yeah, definitely. Plant all natives. And Haley, you know this, and we talk about this a lot with Wendy, how she changed our front yard, you know, when we first moved here 20-some years ago. I was trying to make it a nice, beautiful yard and no weeds and all these things. And as I was learning, that's not the way. It's almost like when you have nice grass like that, you're basically have a concrete front yard. You know what I mean? The grass is not good. It's not from around here. And now we have all the sweet grass and all these things that are coming up. And we, you know, we look out during the show and all we see is butterflies, bees, and things like that. Trying to help out.
I know. Well, every time I come over, because you guys are in the St. Paul area, I'm coming from East Side, but every time I come over to the city's neighborhoods, you guys just have so much wildlife in your yard, like both front and back. And it's always a beautiful environment. So I applaud you, too, for changing your yard.
In the backyard, too. We saw a possum last night in the backyard eating nuts and, you know, and doing its thing. But, yeah, we got many squirrels. We got a white squirrel, black squirrel, which I didn't know this, but black squirrels are rarer than white squirrels, and we have other squirrels, and you know, with the global warming, we even saw our chipmunk came out a week ago, which is again totally bizarre this time of year, and we talk about that. It's crazy.
I know it is a concern for our wildlife relatives out there with the change in the weather patterns and it being so warm right now. But I have another piece of good news here. This is coming out of the Biden administration. The Biden administration plans to ban logging in old growth forests from 2025.
Okay, Haley, what's old growth forests?
Yes, well, this was one of my questions as well. So it turns out an old growth forest is actually a forest that has developed over a long period of time without disturbance. So does that kind of answer? It's just an older untouched forest.
Sure. And there's a lot of that too in the definition of forest. And I know that really for us, I know you've been up north many times and been around, you know, the forest. I guess it would be called a forest, but you know, you've been up there where there's a lot of trees and they've been around there for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah. We have Superior National Forest was just did my first trip up there, and it was beautiful. And our forests are just, we have to protect them with everything we have. So the Biden administration, this move comes after a letter from 130 scientists and would protect millions of old growth trees, which are essential in fighting the climate crisis, right? So there we go, exactly what we need. The outcome of this proposal will depend on the 2024 elections, though, which we know.
Yeah, which we talk about a lot. And, you know, we'll get into that. You know, we're getting close. It's under a year now for the next elections, and we'll be revving up and talking about things. And other shows talk deeply about it, and so we kind of skate around it and talk about it, but we'll be getting into that. And we try to, like we say in the beginning of the show, we talk about Native issues and for us as Natives to remember, but also our allies out there that listen to this show and support this show too, kind of giving him a little history and a little knowledge about Native communities. And with the 572 tribes out there, we're all different too, so it's interesting, you know, the pan Native thing that I was brought up with, you know, when it comes to you know, the movies and things like that, Haley, where, you know, we have all these guys wearing all these different clothes and they're not from certain parts of the country. So yeah, it's just a learning process, and hopefully we're doing good out there, reminding and teaching and trying to do our thing here, Haley.
Absolutely. It'll be fun to come voting with make voting a tradition and Robert Lilligren.
Yeah, and the whole crew there. Definitely. And we have, I think the governor's up for election too this cycle. And so I'm sure we'll hear from the governor and lieutenant governor, both states, Wisconsin and Minnesota, and all over Turtle Island.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wick, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we gear up for the holidays, let's keep our friends, relatives, and elders protected from COVID-19. Even though the emergency declaration is over, COVID-19 is still a concern, especially for those with compromised immune systems. So when you get together this holiday season, opt for outdoor gatherings if weather permits or well-ventilated indoor spaces. And here's a tough one. If you're feeling unwell before your gathering, stay home. It may not be much fun, but it goes a long way towards keeping our cherished elders healthy. After your event, keep an eye on your health. Test if you notice symptoms. If you're traveling in crowded places like airports, put on a mask for that extra layer of protection. Let's make this holiday season the healthiest ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more tips, visit health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they do great work all over the Twin Cities, and we're really excited that they're a proud sponsor of Native Roots Radio. Hey, we have John Hunter on with us today, and now it's an all Ho-Chunk show right now here with Haley, me, and John. And John is coach and founder of the Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. And John, you know, we got a couple segments with you, and I know we got an event we want to talk about, but I'd really love if you'd talk about your organization for a little bit first. And you're on mute. Where's my mute cup?
I know.
There you go. There we go. Hey, right. Welcome. Oh,
hey, John.
Twin Cities Native Lacrosse was founded 9 years ago. Next year will be our 10th anniversary of our founding. We started with a Tawahi Foundation grant, a local micro grant, and bought some sticks from a stick maker up in northern Minnesota, and just held open practices and scrimmages and games here in the local area. And that was really out of the inspiration and guidance of Dr. Dan Ninham, who introduced me to the game, our traditional Dakota Ojibwe game here. That was that summer of 2014 is when I got to learn about that game for the first time. And it's just been a fantastic time to really in the last 9 years, we've just seen a phenomenal, picking up of this tradition where maybe it had been put to the side, and see the community embrace it and a lot of support and a lot of volunteers and a lot of coaches have supported this effort, and it's just been fantastic.
John, so tell our audience what's the difference between the creator's game and lacrosse that you might see, at high schools and things like that. Can you talk a little? I mean, there is a big difference, but there isn't. It's very similar, but there are differences.
That's one of the reasons. That was one of our three goals of founding this organization, was really to do outreach, to our own communities, but also to the broader, dominant society, that most, Minnesotans don't know very little bit about the game, even that you see in the high schools now. So the high school or professional game uses a metal shaft stick with a plastic basket on the end and nylon webbing. They use a hard rubber ball. The women's game uses only protective goggles. The men's game, they wear a full helmet, shoulder pads, gloves, and it's played on basically a soccer field. The goals in the American version, which is what they call field lacrosse, the goals are large 6 by 6, 6 foot by 6 foot hockey style goals with a big net in the back, and they play about 10 on 10 or 11 on 11 on this large field. And our traditional game here that is part of the people here, Dakota Mokoche, is very different. So it not only is it predated by hundreds, if not 1,000 years, it uses different equipment and different style of gameplay. But to me, it is also really tied culturally. It really carries a lot of meaning and a lot of teachings go with that game. But on the outside, if you were to see our traditional game, you would see large gatherings of folks, just dressed in T-shirts and shorts. And the main thing that would stick out would be the stick, the Bugadawana Tig. The lacrosse stick is made of wood. It's about 3 feet long. It's got a hoop on the end with some maybe deer hide or leather or nylon netting forming a basket. And that hoop is about maybe 2 to 3 inch diameter, probably 3 inch diameter. And that's it. So one stick with this, and then the ball is usually made of leather or hide. And then the goal posts, instead of that 6 by 6 foot cage, you have a single post. Typically, normally a single post, maybe 8, 10, 12 feet tall, 3 inch diameter, 2 inch diameter. And that single post is the way that you score the goal. There's no out of bounds. There's no technical rules. It's really played in the spirit that Creator gave it to us. And that's the biggest, to me, the real biggest difference is that the game was given to us by our the Manidu, the Creator. Takashita gave this game to us as a gift to help us in our minds, our spirits, and our in our communities. And so we don't say that we invented the game of lacrosse. We say that we're the original caretakers of the game. Mm. And to me, that's one of the that's the most significant difference is that we are caretakers of a gift that's given to us to make us have fun, to be together and to heal when needed.
You know, I've seen over the years that you have some alumni that have moved on and gone to college and played college lacrosse. How hard is that transition for them? Or, you know, how hard is it to transition from, you know, your lacrosse and...
Well, that's a great question. The timing of it is fantastic. Next fall, we will have next fall and then the following spring, we'll have five women college athletes from the local Twin Cities community that will be playing on NCAA college teams next fall.
Wow.
And that you can go and see, and hopefully they can be on the show sometime and answer that question directly. But just by that fact alone, it is real easy. I believe that if you learn the traditional game and you learn the teachings and the skills, the technical ability is so easy. Once you pick up the modern game, the stick is much bigger. The pocket is much bigger. You know, your understanding of the game, because you're kind of brought up in fundamentals of athleticism. It's real easy. And also the creativity that the traditional game too is also being used in the modern game. I think the bigger issue with some of that transition is how do we do in environments that weren't necessarily built to support us, right? So right. Maybe the off the field stuff might be more of a challenge. I think if it's on the field, our athletes are going to do fantastic with that college game.
That's awesome. And then I remember years ago, the Swarm was in town and it was really fun to watch them, but there was like a million goals. How many goals for the Creators game on average, and is there a time limit when you play traditional?
Our weekly community games, we play as long as we want to. There's no clock. There's it's really set by the players themselves at that time, and it's really meant to just go with the flow. How are we feeling today? Checking in with each other. When's a good time for a water break? And those are community games. Those are meant to be fun and, to laugh and tease each other. And so we just play until, it's time to break for dinner. And also, there's no set teams. There's no number of players. We just try to divide up equally and go at it. In our tournament games, which are competitive, and boy, we know, us Indian people can be very competitive. Our competitive tournaments, what will happen is that usually either the tournament host or the teams themselves before the start of the game will agree to a time limit or maybe it may be like a goal limit, first to four goals. But hitting that small post on a dead run is requires a lot of athletic skill. It's very difficult, and it's really amazing if you can ever see some of these really good athletes, these good Tecopsi Choppy players come out, and they're amazing athletes. It's really, really neat to watch.
What's age limit and what on teams? Because I want to get Haley out there and play the Creators game.
Come on,
I'm down. I'll be out there.
It would be great. We don't have any age limit. Generally we have at our weekly games, if we have enough youth, we'll kind of split the time up or split the field up, and we'll do an all ages game or an intergenerational game. Sometimes we have parents and kids or grandparents and kids out on the field. So we'll do an all ages game, and everybody knows that, to act accordingly in terms of, play with respect to your fellow, your opposing player. But then we'll also divide up the time, and maybe we'll have a youth game, and we have with our portable goals, we can slide the goals in a little bit closer for the youth players. But generally, like 7.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 5:40 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump is ineligible to be on Maine's GOP primary ballot under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
Maine's Secretary of State is the first Secretary of State in our nation's history to conclude that a presidential candidate is not eligible for the primary ballot.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley gets heat over her comments about the cause of the Civil War and no mention of slavery. CBS's Jake Rosen.
The Ron DeSantis campaign put out a statement saying that, if she can't answer these questions directly, how is she supposed to take on Joe Biden and Democrats in November?
Haley blames Democratic plant for the question. Mexican leaders will visit Washington next month to continue discussions on curbing an influx of migrants at the border. CBS's Skylar Henry.
The Biden administration has also said that they are asking Congress to pass additional funding to try to help out at the U.S.-Mexico border as well, to the tune of some $14 billion.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden called the recently passed former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl one of the finest people he ever worked with. State Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler.
The only person that he was working for was you, the voter. It wasn't about special interests or about big money donors or anything else. He was there to do the work because he loved Wisconsin and he wanted to lift Wisconsin up.
Flags around Wisconsin are lowered to half staff until after Kohl's funeral. He died Wednesday after a brief illness. Kohl was 88. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt is filing a petition with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to try and keep Donald Trump's name off Wisconsin's presidential ballots next year. The commission has already rejected the petition, though it is likely to end up in the courts. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain overnight, cloudy skies, gusty north winds, and upper 30s expected by sunrise. On your Friday, early morning rain, then mostly cloudy skies will stick with us. Highs will reach the lower 40s in the late day. Wind still breezy out of the north. It's 33 at our studios.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yeah, and we're totally awake. Hey, we have John Hunter, coach and founder of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, and we've been learning a lot about his organization and also the difference between the Creators Game and lacrosse. We have, people that are watching us, there's the different stick. We have a event coming up, and I'd like you to talk about that, John, and then we can maybe go back and forth a little bit more if Haley or I have more questions about your organization or the game.
This Sunday, the 31st, starting at noon and going We have the time scheduled to 6. We'll see if people want to play that long. We are going to be hosting our winter games, and everyone's welcome to come out. It's a free event. If you go to our Facebook page, there may be a link that you may find a link to a pre-registration page, or you can register on site. But we're going to start off with, you know, a simple gathering on prayer by Sandy Whitehawk. We're going to then probably break up into groups. We'll have three different fields going inside in the sports dome, Brooklyn Park Sports Dome. It's larger than a football field, plenty of space. We have sticks that you can borrow if you don't have your own, no experience necessary. We'll have some coaches on site that can be doing simple skill drills. We're going to have youth-only games on one field, and we'll also have some modern stick goals and some modern sticks for those that want to try it out. And then on one of the fields, another big highlight is going to be in an adult tournament. It's a co-ed tournament. We have some folks traveling from out of town to come in, Bad River, Lower Sioux community, Fond du Lac community is going to be bringing, there's going to be some really fun players to watch, and even plus our own local talent is going to be really going for it all in the adult tournament. And that'll be a lot of fun. So encourage everyone to come out. It's 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. this Sunday, December 31st. Everyone's welcome. At the Brooklyn Park Sports Dome. So that's just a little bit northwest out of downtown Minneapolis. And plenty of space. Come join us. Come have some fun.
Wow, that's exciting. And a great time if you have the winter blues to get inside and get out and run around and have have friends and camaraderie and that's great. Haley, do you have any questions? I know see the stick right now.
I do. Well, I guess I don't know if I just haven't watched Native Lacrosse, but I have seen that Netflix movie. I think it's called Grizzlies. I don't know if you've seen that, but I think it's in Alaska. And that was a great movie, too. So if you haven't seen that, Grizzlies on Netflix. But where do you guys mainly play? How many do you guys host regular games throughout the year? And where do those take place usually?
Yeah, in the summertime, we are hosting, this last summer we held 2 weekly games, one on Wednesday evenings and one on Sunday afternoons. And those are hosted usually around the core area. So we have different fields that we've used. Back in the day, we used good old Corcoran Park Field there in South Minneapolis, but we've also held games at South High, at the U of M, URW Field. Best place to find that information is on our Facebook page. And, you know, we'll usually try to pick one spot for the summer each, you know, like maybe a spring session, a fall session, and a summer session. This past winter, we've been playing here in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Park Dome once a week, and then also in Savage. So really depends. Our players come from all over the metro, so it really depends where we'll be at.
So we can find that information on your Facebook page. Is that called Twin Cities Native Lacrosse?
That's right, Twin Cities Native Lacrosse.
Well, that's exciting. And I know I clicked on pictures over the years and seen a lot of my friends playing and former students playing with you over the years. You know, it's just a great and athletic. And so people can get onto your Facebook and support you. I know it's an organization that needs support, like we all do. How can our listeners support you?
That's a great question. We're under an umbrella organization of Dream of Wild Health. So we will encourage those that would like to support us to navigate to the Dream of Wild Health website. There's an online link to donate, and you can just leave a note with your donation that it's for the lacrosse group. Otherwise, you can reach out to us through the Facebook page if you want to make a direct contribution through that means. Our tournament, is being partially sponsored by both the Tawari Foundation and the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Group, as well as the Seventh Generation Fund. So we welcome the support, and really we're a nonprofit organization. So that funding goes to our coaches, to our facilitators, and then to equipment and to the programming.
And you got always have some good swag too that you hand out to the players. I know I'm walking around. Matter of fact, I have a pair of your long pants on right now.
That's great.
Of course, we
do dig it. That's pretty rare stuff. You can't just find that stuff anywhere. Yeah.
I lucked out, but you know, it doesn't hurt to beg, right, John?
Yeah.
Are you asking me to send you some swag, Robert? I got plenty of swag. I'll share it with you. Actually, for our tournament, we have a one-of-a-kind free t-shirts that will going out to all the participants. It was designed by one of our youth players, and really excited about that. We have just amazing artists all through our community, and so we're really, really grateful that we have folks that want to support us like that.
John, is this all you do? Is this your as the coach and the founder of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse?
No, thanks for asking.
I don't think I've ever asked you that. All the times we run into each other.
No, I've luckily I have a lot of coaches like the helpers for this tournament, Rossi Clem, Barry Wheelock, our younger player directors, Javier Heisler and Nina Polk are been fully organizing the tournament. I have had very little to do with organizing this tournament. I work a full-time job. I work for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And then I also coach high school lacrosse for Minneapolis. It's only with the help of volunteers and my family that I'm able to do this traditional game work. And there's many others through the state that are doing fantastic stuff with the traditional game. The Jackson brothers, Denton Vinny out of Lower Sioux, Thomas Howes of Fond du Lac, Jeremy Red Eagle in Sisseton, Joe and Victoria Goki out of Bad River. There's just wonderful people that are helping to have these games and these teams.
How did you get involved? Now, did you see this, or you always knew it as a young person, or did you play it?
Growing up, grew up here in St. Paul, Minneapolis. There was a counter narrative to all the urban struggles. The stuff that really caught my eyes were the stories of our athletes. You know, whether it was boxers out of the Peacemaker Center, it was Emma Eastman running marathons, there were all these athletes really caught my attention. But I didn't get to, even moccasin game at powwows. I didn't get to do moccasin game, but I was just really wanted to see. Get as many Native games and Native athletes. I just wanted to see that more. But my family didn't play traditional lacrosse, and I didn't know anybody in the community that did. But I knew that the game existed. You know, I saw a lot of athletes, but I didn't see the game. And it wasn't until Dan Ninham. So I grew up playing sports. I played modern stick lacrosse in high school and college. It wasn't until after college and I was – well, beyond college that I met Dr. Dan Ninham, and he was the one that showed me the Ojibwe game. It was like a bolt of lightning. And the second that I saw this game, I knew that our community needed to be a part of that. And prior to that, there was the Lightning Stick Society, what was Faith Spotted Eagle and the Jackson brothers and their dad. The Lightning Stick Society was doing lacrosse in the outstate area in the Dakota communities at that time too. So they were really role models to me. So there were folks that were doing this game when I got started. Not a lot, but there were those before me.
That's exciting. And that's we're ending up this last segment with you. Let's talk about the event one more time before this segment ends.
Yep, this Sunday, inviting everybody out. You know, get the legs moving before the Vikings game, before your calendar year celebrations. Of course, we have our solstice, but yeah, come out for our winter games. We're going to be at the Brooklyn Park Sports Dome, and from starting at 12 noon to 6 p.m., we'll have food, we'll have free meal, we'll have free T-shirts. We'll have equipment to borrow, no experience necessary if you are a player or know a player. And it'll be some great competitive games for the adults and lots of fun games and mini games for the youth as well. So everyone, please come on out this Sunday, 12 to 6.
Wow, that's excellent. Haley, get those gym shorts on and get out there, and I'll bring my lawn chair out there and cheer you on.
Yeah, please do. I might be out there. Keep an eye out for me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. When we know that my quad tendon and all that's bad, John, so I can't do this anymore. I have trouble round dancing now, you know, with my hips. Mm-hmm. My sacred hips. But hey, John, thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, let's stay in touch. And like you said, bring your young warriors on and talk about what they're doing and their college endeavors and how we can support them and support your great organization. I really appreciate you reaching out and really appreciate you being on. It's been a really long time since you've been on the show.
Thanks. It was great to be here.
Right on. All right. Well, hey, that was John and John Hunter, and he's coach and founder of Twin Cities Native Lacrosse. Up next, we got our friend Roya, and she'll be on talking about events and maybe a little bit about the play that she was last in. I don't know. It's always a great surprise to have Roya on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Oik, and we'll be back after this short break. Ho-wa.
Stay with us.
As we gear up for the holiday season, let's prioritize the safety of our community, especially our cherished elders and loved ones. As you plan your holiday gatherings, remember, whether you're young or in good health, you could still unknowingly spread COVID-19. The key to a safer celebration is getting vaccinated. The newest vaccines are authorized, effective against current variants, and FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. So here's the call to action. Be a vaccinative. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Getting vaccinated before your holiday gatherings is a powerful way to ensure a safer and happier time for everyone. Let's honor our elders by preserving their wisdom and stories for generations to come. So be a vaccinative this holiday season. Find more information, including clinics with free vaccines, at vaccines.gov.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! That was a good one. I didn't think I heard Roya, though. Hey, welcome, Roy, White Eagle, and great to have you on, and good to see you after a long couple of weeks of doing theater. You're back with us. How's it going?
Hey, hi, Robert. I kind of hear you to all my relatives out there. I was howling, but I had to mimic it because I'm here at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and it's kind of like the library here. You can't make a lot of noise, so I hope you can hear me here. I can hear you clearly.
Yeah, we hear you good. We hear you good.
Good. And, you know, otherwise I'd have my earbuds, but they went kaput today, so.
Kaput? Is that a big kaput? Is that a native tribe I haven't heard of? Yeah. Kaput?
Yeah, it's really great. This is a great exhibition here. It's going to be up for another couple of weeks. I'm actually a guide in the show. There's three of us that are native guides. We're on duty tonight and Sunday. So Thursday and Sundays, come out and see us. Plenty of public tours going on. It is a charge of about $20 if you are not native, but natives and elders get in free. You just have to let the box office know that.
Nice, nice. And tell our audience what you are, what's it? Oh, are you still there? Yeah, you're there. What's going on and what's the exhibit all about?
Yeah, there's 162 objects, actually. Most all of our photography. There is a few like baskets and pottery as well to illustrate the photo of the artist that made those objects. And so this is something that's been in the works since 2020. Jill Allberg Yost, the Native American Arts of Native Arts of America curator, and Colleen Casey is a photography and contemporary art curator, and Jada Gray Eagle, who's an up and coming new curator, also participated in this show. So, and we have great support from Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Definitely.
About Native lens. I mean, it is. Native photographers that are showing their work all the way back to, I think it's 1870.
Jeez, I was just a youngin back then.
Yeah. Yeah, come on out, check it out.
Have you seen that one, Robert?
No, I haven't, but we've been advertising it here, and I definitely need to get down there. I'm still shaking off my COVID symptoms, so hopefully I'll feel a lot better tomorrow.
Wondering, Roya, do you know when the last day is for the In Our Hands exhibit out there at MIA?
Yeah. I believe it's Sunday, January 14th. It's either the 12th or the 14th. I can't remember the number on the calendar. So, you too. We've got another great exhibition that's opening over in St. Paul, Art at 967 Payne. That's the actual address. It's Robert Desjarlais. He is Red Lake Ojibwe. And he's opening his latest exhibition. He hasn't been painting for a couple of years. He's been ill with cancer, but he's pretty recovered. And that's opening tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, 967 Payne Avenue in St. Paul. So you can go and check that out. I think it goes until about 9 o'clock. And then finally, we've got Peter Pan over at the Ordway, 345. I'm trying to remember the name of that little street there that's down by the Rice Park, but it's 345, I think it's Kellogg. Anyway, there's Ray Zaragoza, who is Tono Odom from Arizona, plays Tiger Lily, and Kenny Ramos, who is Barona Mission Indian from Southern California. He's also in the ensemble there. So you've got two Native actors in this latest edition or iteration of Peter Pan. It was they created the book by Larissa Fasthorse, so she really reimagined it. So there's some great stuff going on here in spite of the New Year kind of intruding on everything.
Hey, speaking of which, Roya, let our listeners know, too, that you have a radio show on KFAI and how people can listen to that, too.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks. Tomorrow evening, 6 p.m., KFAI, Fresh Air Community Radio, that's 90.3 in Minneapolis, or KFEI.org streaming for 1 hour, 6 to 7 p.m. And I'm going to do my best of for 2023. We're going to look at all the entertainment media and art news across Turtle Island and throughout Minnesota. And there's, I'm going to give you a preview of what's coming up in 2024. There's a lot going on just in January and February locally here in the Twin Cities.
Wow, that's exciting. Hey, how are you feeling after, which I think was just an amazing play that you were just in, New Native Theater. You did a great job and had a lot of great lines and laughs. And my Hinu was in it, and for yes. other friends of ours was in it. But how are you holding up after that?
Yeah, oh, pretty good. You know, I miss those folks. You know, she was, Jaleesa sat right next to me in the dressing room. So there were like the five female or non-binary cast members sitting on one side of the dressing room, some other great actors there that we've talked about in the past. But yeah, I'm starting to recover. It's just more kind of nostalgic now, looking at it in the rearview mirror. So yeah, that was a great show. I appreciate your comments and your support. I know you came a couple of times one evening as well. So thank you for that. I, you know, there's talk about maybe taking it on the road to other parts of Indian country, and also reboot next year at this time. So by that time, I think New Native Theater may have moved into its new digs at the Minneapolis Indian Center on Franklin Avenue.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that because you guys deserve a home, and I think that'll be great to have New Native Theater. And there'll be other theater groups going in there, too. It'll be exciting to see the growth of Native Theater across the Twin Cities with that platform there at the Indian Center.
Yeah, just so much music and artistry and theater and just a lot of other sports. I know you just had John Hunter on. Yeah. The Olympics are coming up next summer in Paris. There's already a young man from Akwesasne in upstate New York who's on the Team USA, the under 17, I believe it is, international hockey tournament that's going on in, I forget if it's Sweden or Switzerland. There's a young woman who's a freestyle wrestler, who's going to be trying to make the Olympic team. So just a lot going on in 2024. It's going to be great.
Wow, that is exciting. Wow, that's an update for us here at Native Roots Radio and our listeners. What else do you got, Royo, before we let you go? I know you're working right now, too.
Oh, no, that's okay. I wish I could go into the exhibit and just give you a little. You'll have to come. Be sure to ask for your elder ticket.
Yeah, no problem. I've been doing that since.
On her good looks there.
There you go.
Aww, well, that's right.
You know, like I said, everything's kind of winding down here for 2023. I know we've got the sobriety powwow, used to be the old Red Road powwow, and I'm not sure what else is going on this weekend. I know I'm going to take a little break, a little breather before I have to get back at it. I'm going to be sitting in front of the, I don't know whether I should report this or not, in front of that Vikings-Packer game on Sunday night. So.
Oh, geez.
I know.
Yeah.
Do we look forward to that?
I don't know. We're on all over Wisconsin, too, so I'm not going to get into that because I already got my tail between my legs after the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, Roya,
you feel better. Have a happy new year. I forget what calendar it is, Julian or Gregorian, but we all know we follow our own native traditions as well in our respective native nations and the ceremonies and the calendars that they follow as well.
Well, Roya, thanks for the update. Really, a great, great job as always. And I'll be seeing you soon. Maybe I'll see you Saturday, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I'll see you Saturday then.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll do breakfast.
Yeah,
also,
okay, that catch sounds up. Good. All right. Good to see you, Haley.
Hi, Roya. Good to see you.
All right. Wow. Roya Taylor. I'm sorry. It's not Roya Taylor. It's Roya White Eagle. And really great to have her on. And wow, a lot of great reporting there. That was good to hear a lot of that stuff, Haley.
I know. The White Eagle last name, it sounds so good, too.
Yeah.
A little jealous.
Definitely. Hey, if you're listening.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
to The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.